Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to be gathered here. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. I want you to keep that line in mind for later on in this sermon. That's a good image. Steve actually did a fantastic job, I think, with the theme, and you'll see how a lot of those songs have a lot of things that sort of point at what we're going to be talking about today. What a day to begin, well, to continue. I mean, college weekend is the beginning of Camp Concern, but senior week is the first full week, and it's gotten nice and soggy for everybody, basically. The mud is going to be flowing, and so I hope you brought your packed your boots, you know, your galoshes for this week. But, you know, it really wouldn't be camp without some good rain in there. So it's an exciting time. It is a time where we are given the chance, as Earl has said before, to go on the offensive, you know, to try to make an impact. We do that at various times, but at camp, we are given these campers. You know, they're placed in our care. And we can help them come to know Christ better, or we can just, you know, throw a kickball around all week. And we pray that there's some kickball, but also some, you know, real good spiritual guidance given, because it's there to be done. So, and it will be. We know it will be. And so, but I pray that it will be, and I hope that you'll be praying as well. I will not be there this week, but we'll be there the week after. Before I forget also, I got an email from Jessica Zollner, and she hasn't been here in a while, but she asked specifically for prayers because she is going to have her baby on Tuesday by C-section. It's already been planned, so pray for that. She's a mother who worries about many things, and so she's always saying, tell the church to pray, tell the church to pray. So I hope that you'll pray over the next couple of days for Jessica. Before we begin the lesson, let's go to the Father in prayer. Dear Lord, as we think about who you are and what you have done for us, Father, we cannot help but just be overwhelmed. We are a people blessed in 100 different ways, just without even thinking, Lord. And so much of it is spiritual things, spiritual blessings given by your hand, by your grace. Not things we deserved, but out of the goodness of your heart because you loved us. Help us to be motivated, moved by what you have done, so that we live for you and not fall back into the ways of this world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our series of lessons in the book of Colossians. And last week we talked about how Paul had to deal with some problems that were happening in that church, where ideas were coming in, and we've sort of moved beyond that now, and Paul's trying to say, okay, you know, having set that aside, you know, let's focus on, you know, the alternative, you know, the new way that you can live here in Christ. And, you know, to begin that, Paul has a very unique approach. He has the Colossians, you know, he's calling them, as the theme verse said, to set their minds on things above, to seek things above, to set their hearts on the things above. And it got me thinking about how, you know, some of my favorite movies and books are all about how when people are looking around, things are not what they seem to be. You know, I'm not really into realistic fiction, you know. I mean, I live realism all day long, right? And the ins and outs and missing the bus and the, you know, traffic or whatever. No. I live real life. You know, if I'm going to watch a movie, I want to see something amazing, something cool that begins to unfold. You say, ooh, I wonder what that is. I wonder what's going on there. It's tapping into human imagination. And I say human imagination as if there was any other kind. You know, there is no other kind. My dog has no imagination. None whatsoever. My dog is a smart dog. Boy, I get in a lot of trouble because I've said that my dog is not intelligent, really stupid, which he is. But Gene Wilkerson especially will say, dogs are very intelligent. Dogs are very smart. So yes, my dog is very smart, but he has no imagination. This past week has been awful for my dog. Because it's Armageddon out in the skies, right? It's the you know, and around here, you know, the 4th of July is celebrated from about May until September, you know. Hey, we should set off fireworks tonight. Oh, yeah, that's great. I mean, the 4th is somewhere around here, right? It was 3 weeks ago. That's all right. We still got them in the back room. And so they're set. And so my poor dog, I mean, he literally thinks his life is about to end. My dog weighs almost as much as I do, all right? He can handle a lot. And yet, he turns into a hamster, you know, that's scared for his life every time, you know, fireworks. He has no imagination. Human beings have imagination. We can consider the idea that there is more than what meets the eye. There is more going on here than what is right in front of us. But sometimes we forget. You know, and I think that that imagination, that reaching beyond and thinking beyond what we see, is put into us on purpose. It's supposed to trigger something in us because God is saying, of course, you do know there is more going on than meets your human eyes. And so come find me, because that's where I am. But look what Paul says to the Christians here. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So when Paul says, set your mind on things above, seek the things that are above, he's saying, seek things that you cannot see. Seek something, picture Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. None of us have seen that with our earthly eyes. We have all had to imagine it. We've read about it. We've thought about it. And so we picture, yeah, that's where Christ is. And that's where I'm supposed to set my mind, on things I cannot see. My life is hidden with Christ. We're going to get into that in a little bit. And there'll be a time where Christ appears. But he continues. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Set your mind on those things that are above. And when it comes to the things on earth, put those to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, why do I have that picture up there? That's not a mistake. That, this is the time of year for cicadas, right? I mean, the cicadas have already begun to emerge. And when we get to camp, which is what I was thinking during this, preparation for the sermon, you can't see it very well. A little over here, you can see it. But at camp, we're going to find all of these skins, all of these shells, all of these things that look like bugs. They look like the complete thing. And you walk up to a tree, for example, and you look at it and you say, oh, wow, is that a bug? But it's not. It used to be one. But there's a time, and this should actually be turned because they're almost always hanging onto something vertical, vertical surface. These cicadas just burst out of their old skin. And when they first come out, they're actually a little bit gelatinous, almost like a new baby being born. But they come out of that skin, and they've got new wings, and they've got a new body. And Paul's saying, look, you need to put off the old self with its practices. And live this new life that you now have in Christ. So I thought cicadas were an appropriate image. So Paul is writing to these Christians, and he's writing to us. God wants us to hear these things just as they were supposed to hear it, 2,000 years ago. So what's Paul's, some of Paul's main points? I'm going to pull three ideas here, and we're going to talk about them. First of all, the things above have their own pull, their own gravity. When it comes to what our motivations are, how it moves us. Now, a lot of times we talk about how the things down here on earth, they have temptation. There's something pulling at you. Well, the things above also have a pull on us. Paul says something has happened to you, Christians. It's not that you're still looking down the road to something. Something has already happened. Here he says, if you have been, this is the previous chapter. And I highlighted what is true for those of us who have been baptized into Christ. having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. You know, Paul says you were given the gift of having died to sin. You were buried with him in baptism. And then now you are raised with him. So when Paul says, if you have been raised with Christ, that's the first thing he says in verse 1 of the new chapter, chapter 3. We all say, well, yeah, that's me. So whatever promises, whatever things he's about to describe, that applies to you. She says, so if then you've been raised with Christ. He's not trying to say, Mike, have you really been raised with Christ? You know, think about it. You know, he's saying, no. Since you know you have been, then all of this is true. If that's the case, seek Christ. Seek the things that are above. All these things have already occurred for you. So reach beyond. Seek the things that are above. Usually, when we think about our state with God, lots of things go on there. We think about ourselves and we say, okay, there'll be a time when I die, right? I die and I go to be with God in heaven. So you know, the arrow goes like this. There's going to be a time when I'm living along this life and then something happens. We don't know how it's going to happen. But one day, we're going to reach that point where we die. And then we get to be with God in heaven. And Paul says, the way to think about this is that you have died and your life is hidden in Christ with God. So yes, it's true that one day your life will end on this earth. One day you will cease to breathe in this body. He says, but the better way to imagine life for yourself right now is that you have died and your life is now hidden with God. He goes on, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The other translations, and a better way of translating, the word appears there, which is your life appears and then you also will appear, is the idea of revealing. So the way you would read it then is, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So it's not that I can't wait for this moment, something to happen way down the road, and I know eventually, yes, I'm going to go to heaven and be with God. Paul says, think about now. Because you have died, you have been raised with Christ, your life is hidden with Christ in God, and one day, it'll be revealed. Now the reason I like revealed better than appears for this verse is because I think of revealed as more like unveiling. You know, coming to light rather than it wasn't there and then poof, it appeared. You know, sort of like the difference between, appeared would be more like Star Trek, you know, where you're walking along and then all of a sudden you see this shimmering and then boom, you know, Scotty has beamed them down onto the planet. They appear, right? That's not how the second coming should be understood, Paul is saying. You know, it's more like a statue that's been covered, but then eventually they unveil what that statue will look like. Nobody knows what's under the sheet, under the cover, but eventually they uncover it. Paul says, that's the way to think about it. Because that now is tapping into this idea that it's not all that meets the eye. There is more to life than what meets the eye. So much of what you are is right now hidden, but it will be revealed. Start to set your mind on that idea. This is not just found in Colossians. Paul talks this way in Romans. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you and me. So the creation out there is sort of like, when is this going to happen? We can't wait for the final revealing of these sons of God who have been given over to Christ, who are now going to be glorious. 1 John, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. Same word there. That could also be revealed. Has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So Paul says, don't fall for the trap of looking around and figuring, this is what it is. This is all there is. Because there are things about life right now that have not yet been revealed. But they are concealed. They are hidden. And Christ Himself is going to be revealed. And it will be glorious. So begin to set your mind on things above. So what should we be thinking about? Paul gives some reasons, some things to think about even in this passage, right? He says Christ is at God's right hand. And, you know, we know from other places His role there is that He intercedes for us. Your life is hidden in Christ. This life is more than what it seems. And your life is secure. Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate you from God's love. If your life is hidden with Him, well, then you don't have to wonder, well, I don't know if I'm going to be, you know, right with God tomorrow. If you sin and confess that sin, you are right with Him. You continue to be, because His blood continues to wash you clean. You've been cleared of all debts. We found that out in Colossians chapter 2. The record of debt that was against you has been nailed to the cross. It's gone, along with the law. The Father loves you and shows it. What am I doing here? I'm just starting to list some things that are in the category of the things that are above. The truths that have a pull on our hearts if we let them begin to have a pull. But I left the list open. So that's kind of like homework, all right? So think about this. Paul is calling you, set your mind on things above. How do you complete that list? Or how do you keep it going? Well, there's also this to think about. There's also this. Paul says, look, turn your hearts and your minds away from the things that are of this world. Start setting them on amazing things above, and you'll begin to feel their pull. Because after all, the things below are an empty waste of your life. Can I just say that boldly, okay? Well, I already typed it up there, so I have to say it. The things below are an empty waste of your life. And I speak from experience. If anybody ever got the idea that preachers, you know, they talk about, you know, they've got their lives in order, then they're going to yell at all of us. Absolutely not. I just think to myself, okay, what do I struggle with? Oh, well, yeah, wasting my life. I do that way too much, way too often. Paul here is very clear in his language. Put to death what is earthly in you. But now you must put them all away. You have put off the old self. There was the old stuff that needs to go. In Philippians, he says, I consider my old life garbage, even the high points garbage, with the, you know, in comparison to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? And so, yes, Paul says, put this off, put it off. It's earthly, it's useless, get rid of it. Specifically, Paul does get very specific, doesn't he? Sins involving sexual activity in verse 5. He says, if you are wondering what I mean about earthly stuff, well, let me just start naming names, all right? Sexual things, it's a problem. It was a problem 2,000 years ago. Guess what? It's still a problem for human beings today. Sins involving desire, coveting, these internal things that happen to me, involving temper, anger, wrath. Some of the ways that we get angry with each other are sin. We've already stepped into it. So Paul says, nah, it's earthly. Get rid of it. Sins involving speech. The things I say can be sinful. And so I have to guard my tongue. James says, try your best to get a handle on that thing, the tongue. Because the key through all of this is that the higher things, the greater things are so great. How can we settle for this garbage anymore? How could this look alluring anymore? Peter, in 1 Peter 2, says, you don't want to be somebody who has found Christ and then slipped and slid down back into the mire. For if we have escaped, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. You do not want this. Paul says this can happen. Peter says it is happening. So they say, no. The way you combat this in yourself is to think of these earthly things as garbage. Think of these sins as not something you want to keep playing with, because it's a mousetrap. It's a death trap. Set your minds instead on the things that are above. That will pull you. Things below, they're an empty waste of your life. It's what your old life used to be. It used to be the marks of your old life. There was a young man, I only know him as Julio, and that wasn't his real name. In the article I read, they made it very clear, not his real name. When Julio was age 15, a friend of his tattooed X4 on his face. Now, why would he do that? Well, because they were joining the North Gang in Mexico. And in their homemade ways, they tattoo each other. And when it's on the face, then that becomes visible. It's who you are. And so, very crudely, I'm not going to describe the process, but you don't want to go through the process of getting a homemade tattoo. They put X4 on his face, the name of their gang, the identification of their gang. But a year later, he doesn't want this on his face anymore. So he goes to a doctor, and the doctor removes it by scalpel. And so, again, I don't want to really go through the process of describing what's done there, but you know what a scalpel is. There's a lot of cutting involved. However, within 2 months, that tattoo was back. It had come back over the scar. So here's a young man, marked as a gang member on his face, wants to get rid of it, goes and tries to get rid of it, goes through a process that is inadequate, and it just comes back. Like you can't get away from it. In fact, that's what he says. It was like being stuck with a Halloween mask I couldn't take off. Folks, that's you and me in sin. That's you and me in sin. In the earthly, in the worldly, in the enticements of the world, it will get under your skin. It will become who you are. But it was us, Paul is saying. It was you, and something has happened to you. Christ has come into your life. And because you were baptized into Him, you now have no record of debts. The scar is gone. Julio was going to this place called the Second Chance Program, and they offer free of charge laser treatment, the real deal, the thing that really can work at getting rid of a tattoo, to remove the gang signs permanently. The only picture of him we have is of his hand here, because they marked each of his fingers as well. Just little dots, but a little dot is enough of a sign sometimes. And so now, he's getting it taken away. So Paul is trying to say, look, you've had the scar removed. Why wander back to the homemade tattoo parlor and try to tattoo yourself with the sins of the world again? They are garbage and they are an empty waste of your life. Don't get caught up in these things again. Aim for higher. Aim for glory. Overall, Paul is saying, prepare for glory because it is coming. We are not there yet. We're not. We know that. Look around. We know that. We're just ordinary people. We're just a bunch of people trying to sing our best as Steve leads us, you know. We're not glorious yet, but it's coming. And it's there, and it just has to be revealed, and it will be one day. Paul says, prepare. Get yourselves ready. Seek the things that are above. We've said it so many times this morning. Seek the things that are above. It reminds me of the first song we sang. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's Matthew chapter 6. That's Sermon on the Mount. That's Jesus himself. Paul is echoing his Savior. In the same sermon, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. That's garbage and it's an empty waste of life. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now some of you will say, but how, Mike? Everybody, not everybody. There are a few people here who will come up to me and say, but Mike, you didn't tell us what to do. You didn't tell us how. You didn't tell us the next step we need to take. And I'm going to cheat a little bit and say, it's in the next section of Colossians. I know it's a cheap way out. I know. But it's coming. Paul's about to go into, he's going to say, therefore, and he's going to give us all kinds of amazing things to do. But in the meantime, since that would be a major cop-out, in the meantime, we can begin to set our things above. We can begin to lay up treasures in heaven by simply reading and setting our minds on the things that Paul says here in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Set your mind on these things. Seek these things. Because they're not earthly. They're not temporary. They're not moth and rust type stuff. They're not moth and rust treasure. These are lasting. These are eternal. These are of God. And so Paul says, prepare. Get ready. About a month ago, this scene was happening all over the nation. All over the place. Now some of you who have worked in schools are cringing, saying they should not be running in the halls. No, they shouldn't be. But you would be. Because school was out. The last day of school. The last time. And you have your backpack on and there's nothing in your locker. There's nothing left behind. And you're walking out and I don't have to come back to this place for months. In a normal day in middle school, in a normal day, at the end of the day, that last bell that rang, I remember thinking, I distinctly remember this, I don't actually have to be moving myself right now because there was a tight throng of people all going one direction out of the school. And I was just carried along. You know, that's how exciting it is. But the last day of school, the beginning of summer, where all of those worries, all those burdens, they're gone. I can sleep in tomorrow. I can watch cartoons tomorrow. Paul is saying, look, it's coming. We're going to leave this life behind. There's not going to be any deadlines. There's going to be no mortgage. There's going to be no boss breathing down your neck. There's not going to be any boredom, no loneliness, no death. You're not going to lose any loved ones. You're not going to be disappointed. You'll never be betrayed again. You'll never hear stories on the news that break your heart. You're going to leave it all behind. It's going to be gone. You're not going to be turning your back on it as if you didn't care. No, it's over. And now there's going to be life with none of those things. A life that is currently hidden with Christ in God, but soon to be revealed. So get ready. That's our message this morning. It's a message for Christians. And maybe you're sitting here and you're not sure if you've taken every step that Jesus has called upon us to take to become Christians, followers of His. Then today is the day. You want to be in the place where you're saying, yes, that is where I am now. Something has happened. It's past tense for me. And now all I need to do is prepare for what's ahead and live life now for the glory that is to come. If you want that assurance to be yours, maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. We offer that every single time. The water's ready, it's warm. Come as we stand and sing.